Aviation Matters Facebook page.
Mr. Wells, would you like another cocktail?
Yes, please. And would it be possible to get another one of those wonderful desserts?
Oh, I don't see why not. But let me check to make sure we have an extra. They don't always put extra on board these days.
Oh, I know. Whatever happened to the wonderful days of passenger flights? Exotic destinations, wonderful food, wonderful service, plenty of stewardesses, flight attendants. Now everything is so efficient. How I miss those days.
Yes, Mr. Wells, I'll check on that dessert.
And don't forget that drink. Who on earth is calling me up here of all places? I thought these things didn't work this high up. Can I ever be rid of this technology from Satan himself? Speaking of the Dark Lord, I see it's Jeanette calling me. Hello, this is Orson Welles.
Oh, Mr. Welles!
Yes? Who is this?
Mr. Welles, it's Lenore.
Lenore? You mean Lenore, Jeanette's replacement? That Lenore?
Yes, Mr. Welles. It's me. I'm back.
I guess my reference to the Dark Lord was more apt than I would have ever guessed. Lenore, why are you in the office? Where's Jeanette?
Oh, she'll meet you at the airport.
Which airport?
Why, Chicago O'Hare International Airport. Airport code ORD, of course.
Lenore, how could Jeanette meet me at O'Hare? I took the first flight out of LAX this morning.
She took the red eye last night.
To Chicago?
Yes, to O'Hare, just to be clear.
By all means, please be clear. And why, pray tell, was she on that red eye?
So she could pick you up at O'Hare when you arrive.
Lenore, please, if you could just explain to me why Jeanette is going to pick me up at O'Hare to take me to record a radio commercial?
Oh, that commercial has been rescheduled. She's taking you to Delavan, Wisconsin.
Reschedule the commercial? How did she do that?
Well, after all, you are Orson Welles.
That conversation was going nowhere. Flight attendant, another drink, and make it a double.
The WGTD Radio Theater is on the air in our 15th season with show number 122. Today's show is The Kane Shadow, Send in the Clowns. Today we are broadcasting live from Lake Lawn Resort on beautiful Delavan Lake in Delavan, Wisconsin. The Kane Shadow is created and written by Steve Brown and Michael Ulstrup. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater is provided by the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, a full-service law firm with an emphasis on personal injury, civil litigation, and business law. By Lake Lawn Resort, your ultimate destination for year-round leisure getaways, family retreats, weddings, and group meetings in the Lake Geneva area. And by the Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in the village of Salem Lakes, Wisconsin. So sit back and enjoy another installment of The Kane Shadow and Send in the Clowns. It stars members from the 91.1 Players.
Now what? Of course it's her. Hello, this is Orson Welles.
I know. Listen, I hope Lenore called you.
Oh, yes, she did.
Good. Now, when you get off the plane, there'll be one of those electric taxi things at the gate to take you to the exit where I'll pick you up.
And my bags? How do I get those?
I already have someone getting those for you and bringing them to your car.
I suppose that will do?
Yeah, it will. I'll be waiting for you at the exit in a red Cadillac Escalade. The thing is huge and looks like a fire truck. You can't miss it.
Yes, that should be adequate.
Oh, it'll be adequate. The only thing bigger than that is a deuce and a half, but the Army couldn't get one from Afghanistan fast enough for you.
Oh, Jeanette, there's that quick wit of yours.
Yeah, well, just meet me at the curb.
By the way, why are you here and why are we going to Delavan? What happened to that radio commercial?
I'll tell you all about that in the car while we're driving to Lake Lawn Resort.
Ah, yes. Lake Lawn Resort. Right on the shore of Delavan Lake in historic Delavan, Wisconsin. Such a wonderful place. Great location, marvelous food, excellent service, and of course, first-rate cocktails.
Was that some kind of commercial?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, well, you were talking it. You really ought to be more careful with that, thinking you're thinking when you're really talking. Anyway, I have Rodney and Florence on speed dial to have your drink and dinner ready when we get there. Listen, just be at that exit and don't dawdle.
As much as she wears on my last nerve, Jeanette is very good at her job. Everything is always attended to for me. Not sure why she came out here. After all, I've been to Delavan by myself before. Oh, now I remember. Jeanette.
Mr. Wells, over here. I see you found your way, okay?
Yes, Jeanette, I found my way.
I already got your bag, so we're ready to go.
So, Jeanette, why are you here and why are we going to Delavan?
Okay, here's the deal. I get this phone call from this woman, just your type. Sultry voice, mysterious, desperate, only you can help her, yada, yada.
Yes.
She tells me, after I told her in no uncertain terms that she had to go through me to get to you.
And I can just imagine how you told her.
Yeah, well, she tells me that there's some strange white guy walking around Delavan.
Jeanette, a strange white guy? You just described half of the state of Wisconsin.
Ha ha. Not that kind of white, albino white.
Albino? Did she say if he was tall?
No, she wouldn't say much more. She just said you would know what all this means. Anyway, figuring you'd want to pursue this mystery, I changed around your plans.
I suppose you arranged a meeting with her?
Yes. I haven't been your secretary all these years without figuring out how you like things. I figure we'll get to Lake Lawn mid-afternoon. I arranged for you to have cocktails at 5 o'clock at the Frontier Bar.
But, Jeanette, why are you here?
To caught you around Delavan.
I've been in Delavan all by myself before. Got along quite nicely. Lake Lawn does offer great service.
I just figured you needed my help. This mystery sounded so much like that one you had me out here for before.
Yes. When you were out here before.
And I was helpful, wasn't I?
Oh, yes, you were.
So I thought I could be helpful again. And since I found Lenore, who does such a great job covering for me at the office, it frees me up to be more helpful to you. That's all there is to it.
And helpful to a certain Lawrence McCullough?
All right already, yes. I'm going to see Lawrence while I'm out there. Nothing wrong with catching up with old friends.
Catching up? Is that a new euphemism for a vacation romance?
None of your business.
No, none of my business at all, Jeanette. What on earth is that?
Oh, settle down. It's my cell phone. It's Bluetoothed into the car speakers. Hello, this is Jeanette, secretary to Mr. Orson Welles. How may I help you?
Oh, hello. This is Lenore, personal assistant to Jeanette, secretary to Mr. Orson Welles. Hi, Jeanette. I just wanted to check in and make sure everything went well with picking up Mr. Welles and that you're on your way to Lake Lawn Resort.
Yeah, Lenore, everything went as planned. Thanks again for all your help. Mr. Welles is sitting next to me in the car right now as we drive up there.
Oh, hi, Mr. Welles. How are you? Did you have a good flight? How was the food? Was the service up to your standards? Airlines these days just aren't what they used to be. Cram them in, throw them a bag of peanuts, and dump them off. But what can you do? It's the price we pay for modern travel, I suppose.
Yes, Lenore, everything is fine. Now, I do need to get back to talking with Jeanette about this case we're on.
Oh, okay, Mr. Wells. So glad things are going well. After all, that's why I'm here, to make sure things go as planned for you and Jeanette. And if things start to go off track, don't hesitate to call me. Day or night, weekdays or weekends, 24/7.
Jeanette.
I know. I'll talk to her about being so chatty.
So, what's this commercial for in Chicago?
The sponsor wants fresh takes of the one you already did.
Fresh takes? What on earth for? I'm Orson Welles. I did it right the first time. Why waste my time and their money on such useless exercises?
I'm not sure. Sales said to just get it done.
Sales? Sales? They're as bad as lawyers. I swear, if they could turn a buck, they would shake a tambourine and strum a banjo to make a sale. What do they care if they are wasting my time?
They said something about the right reading.
I am giving the right reading. I spend 20 times more. I spend 20 times more doing these commercials for them than I do for anyone else. The way they want this stupid commercial read is impossible. Simply impossible.
Mr. Welles, you did 6 of these for them last year.
Seems more like 72. What is it that they want in the depths of their ignorance? Whatever it is, I cannot and will not deliver. All the money in the world would not be worth what they are putting me through.
And they need to re-record the first one you did.
Why? There was nothing wrong with that one. Why are they putting me through this?
That one had a gunk.
A gunk? What is a gunk? Do you mind telling me?
A bang from outside.
A bang from outside. A wake-up call, perhaps, for me. I must endure morons like these and these incredibly abominable squandering of my time and talent, if only for a respite from these gunks, the clattering cacophony. A simple yet serene place to get away. A place with answers, not questions. Perhaps I have just come up with the perfect solution.
No, I came up with the solution. You'll solve this case in Delavan, have a nice break, and then I'll take you to Chicago to record or re-record whatever it is they want, those commercials. Listen, they're paying you to do these things. They paid for your expenses. First-class expenses, I remind you, all for a couple hours' work. You'll do whatever it is they want, keep your mouth shut, and take the money. Got it?
Yes, Jeanette.
Here we are.
Indeed, we arrived. Always so nice to turn into that long driveway from Highway 50. So inviting, those tall and graceful trees sheltering us from the harsh elements, just like Lake Lawn Resort shelters its guests during their stay. We drove to the conference center entrance, which also serves as the entrance to the Frontier restaurant and bar. I always make that fine establishment my headquarters during my sojourns there. Jeanette dropped me off while she attended to all the trivial details of checking in, getting my bags to the room, etc., etc. I made my way down the corridor, stopping at the wonderful gift shop to look at the local papers. I wanted to see if there was anything in them about any strange goings-on. Nothing. That was odd given the supposed nature of the phone call that Jeanette received. So, I made my way to the Frontier restaurant and bar. And, of course, who was tending bar but Rodney? I knew you would be here to greet me.
If it isn't Mr. Welles. And, of course, we're all here to greet you. Jeanette has everyone on red alert. In fact, she texted me as you were coming down the driveway.
I suppose Mayor Mel put the Delavan police on alert?
Would not doubt it at all. So, Mr. Welles, what will you have? I know you're not here to see me.
Rodney, of course I want to see you. But I'll take that drink just the same. Double Jack, old-fashioned.
Coming right up. There you go, Mr. Welles.
Thanks, Rodney. Say, do you have a light?
Of course.
Nothing like a fresh batch of chemicals to revive the soul.
True enough. But you do know those things are not the best for you.
Rodney, look at me. Do you really think a cigarette now and then will kill me?
Yeah, and you know you're not supposed to smoke in here, right?
Oh, I'm quite aware of that, Rodney. But after all, I am...
Oh, I know. You are Orson Welles.
Indeed, I am. Say, Rodney, have you heard about any strange things going on in town? Some strange, tall albino man walking around?
Not at all. Jeanette has asked me about it. I did some checking around, in fact. There has been someone complaining about being followed by someone like that. A woman.
Rosalind McDermott?
Exactly. How did you know?
She's the one who called Jeanette and wound up getting me out here.
Why her and why this time? I'm sure you have women calling you all the time.
True enough, Rodney. My personal guess is that Jeanette is using that call as an excuse for something else.
Lawrence McCullough?
That's my guess, but how did you know?
You stopped in here just before you arrived, looking for Jeanette.
Good thing the Sixth Fleet can't dock in Delavan, or they'd be looking for her, too.
I heard that. Listen, you're all checked in, your clothes are hung up in your closet, your toiletries laid out in your bathroom, you have tabs open at all the bars and restaurants, I made sure there's plenty of alcohol in your suite, and the ice buckets are full. Here's your key card and Wi-Fi passcode. I know Florence will be able to handle your dinner order. They have a filet, a ribeye, and a New York strip. I did tell Florence to bring only one steak per meal. I also told her to bring you that big salad. I figured your system could use a good flushing out.
You're not joining me for dinner?
No. I'll see you at breakfast.
Bye, Jeanette.
You know, Mr. Wells, Jeanette is worth her weight in gold. Why do you always give her such a hard time?
Oh, I know they don't make secretaries like that anymore, Rodney. Our little jousting is just our way of expressing affection.
Whatever you say, Mr. Wells. Another drink?
But of course. I'll take it out on the balcony if you don't mind, Rodney.
I'll ask Florence to bring it out to you.
Thanks, Rodney. Oh, and have Miss McDermott meet me out there.
You got it, Mr. Wells.
I walked through the dining room and walked outside to the balcony running along the dining room. I sat at one of those tables where I could overlook the lake and still watch the dining room through the window. It was a beautiful day. Not quite fall, not quite summer. Cool, but warm in the sun as it shimmered through the trees. Once in a while, couples would stroll along the lakeshore walk, hand in hand, taking in one of their last hurrahs of summer. Then I caught a glimpse of Mrs. McDermott through the window as she entered the frontier. She stopped at the bar and asked Rodney something. Where she could find me, I presumed, because he pointed to her at the door of the balcony. As she walked through the dining room, I saw that she was older, mid-40-ish, but well-dressed and was tastefully made up. She wore a beige raw silk suit, skirt, of course, light yellow blouse, hose, beige pumps. She wore a flatter straw hat with a light yellow band around the crown, cocked up to the right. She carried a beige leather clutch. I approved. She walked up to me and asked,
Mr. Wells?
Yes, I'm Orson Wells. Miss McDermott?
Yes.
Standing up, I said, please, have a seat. Florence walked up, bringing my drink, and said,
Hi, Mr. Wells. So good to see you again. Jeanette has the whole resort on standby for you.
Yes, so I hear.
Here's your drink.
Miss McDermott, would you like something to drink?
Yes, please. Could I have a Gibson, straight up?
A vodka or gin?
Vodka?
You'll have to forgive Florence, Miss McDermott. No one knows how to drink like adults these days, and most of her customers order those vodka pop concoctions. Did you know that some of these bizarre drinks, if you can call them that, use malt liquor for their alcohol? Dreadful.
Oh, yes, I know. Gin, of course.
And Florence, please bring that Wisconsin Heritage cheese and cured meat appetizer.
For four people, I assume.
Well, yes, we mustn't look stingy. Miss McDermott, would you like something to eat?
No, thank you.
I'll bring that right out.
So, Miss McDermott, you caused us quite a stir here. So tell me about this tall albino that you say is following you around.
Mr. Wells, are you familiar with Haunchyville?
Of course. I am Orson Wells.
That's exactly why I turned to you. I know that you return to the area now and then, and wouldn't think that I was crazy.
Well, I do return to the area now and then.
I know. It does sound crazy, but let me tell you the whole story.
Please, go on. This story brought me all the way from Chicago.
One Gibson, ma'am.
Thank you, Florence. Another one of these, please.
I bought one just in case.
Oh, Florence, you are a gem. Please, continue, Miss McDermott.
Many years ago now, my husband, Harold, was looking to purchase some land in Muskego, up near Milwaukee in Waukesha County.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested in some farmer's fields that he figured would make good residential development property.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
He was driving along some country road, and he saw an older, tall man walking toward him. So he stopped and asked him if he needed a ride.
Yes.
Well, this man got angry and pointed his shotgun at my husband and told him to turn back, that none of this was his business.
And you know all of this how?
Well, my husband certainly left and came back home. He told me the whole story. And he told me the man was as white as a ghost.
Like an albino.
Exactly.
And?
A couple weeks later, my husband went back there, figuring that that man wouldn't be there again. I never saw my husband again.
Oh.
They found his body about a week later. His legs had been chopped off at the knees.
Really?
I brought this coroner's report to show you.
Well, I'll be darned.
The police just passed it off as some kind of psychotic killer, but they never found him. But then I ran across the legend of Haunchyville.
Okay, madam. Haunchyville and the Protector is one fine story, but that's up in Waukesha County, and we're down here in Walworth. How could some colony of escaped circus little people who live in a cornfield up there, if that legend is even remotely true, be a threat to you, let alone after all these years after your husband was murdered? I'm always up for a good mystery, madam, but you have to give me something to work with.
Then you haven't heard about the colonies of circus folk, clowns and such, who live in the area around Delavan Lake?
Of course I have. I'm Orson Welles. And again, even if those stories are remotely true, that circus performers from over 100 years ago left the circuses that wintered here and lived together in some kind of hidden communities, most of the areas have been developed into subdivisions, industrial parks, and cornfields.
But most legends are based on truth, Mr. Welles. And I'm afraid that they're coming after me.
So, what you're suggesting is that some group of ex-circus performers, which have existed for over 100 years, and specifically, a group of little people who chop off people at the knees to make them short and are protected by a tall albino man moved from Muskego to Delavan, looking for you?
I know, it sounds crazy, but I'm scared, Mr. Welles. I'm scared.
Okay, madam. I'll look into this for you. I take it you haven't been to the police?
No, I just didn't want to be called crazy.
That's the most believable thing you've said, madam. But nonetheless, my secretary will get back to you once I have a plan. I assume she has your contact information?
Oh, yes, Mr. Welles, she does. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. Wait for her call.
Cigarette?
Oh, I don't smoke.
Neither do I, but it just seems the thing to do at times like this.
Okay, since you put it that way. You know, it does taste good right now.
It's not the only thing that tastes good.
Oh, brother.
How does Mr. Welles get away with smoking all the time? I mean, even you have ashtrays in your room.
Well, after all, he is
Orson Welles.
I told him. Oh, it's Lenore. I gotta get this. Hello, Lenore?
Yes, it's
Thanks, Lenore. How is everything in Delavan?
Oh, just fine, Lenore. Listen, I gotta go. You know how Mr. Wells is. Busy.
Oh, but are all the arrangements okay? Did you get there okay? Were Rodney and Florence ready for you? Did you tell Mr. Wells only one steak at a time? You know,
Mr. Wells is right. I do need to talk to her about being so chatty.
Well, these are still business hours. You can't blame her too much.
True. She has no idea how much I like to take in a matinee.
I'm so glad we could see each other again. I didn't think I'd ever see you after last time out here.
No, I don't always get to travel with Mr. Wells, but when this thing came up in Delavan, I just made it work out.
So, what does the famous, or infamous, Orson Welles have you investigating?
I'm not exactly sure yet. I'll find out the details at breakfast, but I do know it has something to do with the legends of the escaped circus people that supposedly live secretly around here in little colonies.
Really? He actually believes those stories? Even if they were true, that was 100 years ago.
As Mr. Wells will tell you, it's not what he believes, but what the client believes.
Good point.
And he does love a mystery with a twist and a pretty woman.
Sounds like you're describing yourself.
Oh, you just never quit, do
Couldn't
you?
Couldn't you tell?
Anyway, it is interesting, all the stories that came from the circuses here in Delavan and right here on the Lake Lawn property.
Yeah, Delavan is an interesting little place.
Have you ever heard anything about these circus people? I've heard about a colony of little people and other performers like clowns. I once heard that a group of circus performers killed the owner and ran away to form their own colony.
Well, maybe that happened. But like I said, that was 100 years ago. Does this woman think some little people are hunting her down last week?
It might not be those people, but it could be some kind of strange person who's some kind of copycat or something.
That's more realistic. Plenty of crazy people in the world, that's for sure.
Besides, this woman is saying she's being stalked by a tall albino man, not a bunch of little people. Yeah. This guy, according to the legend, is called the Protector and protects the colony of little people by shooting his shotgun to scare nosy people away.
I think your idea about a copycat makes sense.
Yep. Have you seen any tall albinos walking around these days carrying a shotgun?
Not lately. Besides, Wisconsin is not open carry. I think he'd have been stopped by the cops or something if that were the case.
Yeah, that's the one piece I haven't put together yet. But that's why Mr. Wells is here, to figure it all out.
And why are you here, sweet Jeanette?
I think you already found that out.
Indeed I did.
Should we order some room service? It's getting close to dinner time. Besides, we're running out of champagne.
Dinner, champagne, snacks, nightcaps, breakfast. Let's order it all.
Fine by me. Good morning, Mr. Wells.
Good morning, Jeanette. Please, have a seat. We have a lot to get done today.
Thank you. I see you had the steak and eggs and a side of ham.
We do have a big day today. I thought I'd stoke up.
They're stoking up, and then they're stoking up.
Good morning, Jeanette. Coffee?
Please.
What would you like for breakfast?
Just coffee. I already ate.
I'll go make a fresh pot for you.
So, you already ate?
Yes.
At one of the local diners?
No.
So, if I may ask...
Room service.
Certainly convenient.
Yes, it was.
Did you have an opportunity to see old friends?
All right. Yes, I spent the evening with Lawrence, and it was very nice to see him.
You know, Jeanette, I really don't care who you see. That is your business.
Then why do you play your little cat and mouse games with me?
You know me. I do like a mystery.
Speaking of which.
Indeed, you are right.
So I take it you met with that Rosalind McDermott?
Yes, as planned.
What came out of that?
Just a lot of whining, being scared, pleading for my assistance.
So the usual thing.
Yes.
But we're going to help her?
Yes.
I do have to admit it's interesting. I'm thinking it's some kind of copycat thing. I just can't figure out how some guy is walking around town with a shotgun out in the open.
But has Ms. McDermott ever mentioned that he was carrying a shotgun? That certainly is the legend and what scared off her husband from the cornfield years ago. But she never said that the man was stalking her had a shotgun.
And I'd like to know why no one else has seen this guy. I mean, it's a small town and all. You'd think someone would have mentioned something about a tall albino guy walking down the main drag.
I'd like you to call Ms. McDermott and ask her where and when she has usually seen our pale friend.
Okay.
Then I'd like you to talk to some of the shopkeepers. Let me guess.
You got it. Lenoa?
Jeanette, good morning. How are things in Wisconsin? Of course, it's still early here with the time change and everything. And as usual, the weather is wonderful here in Southern California, although we really could use the rain.
So, Lenoa, what can I do for you? Mr. Wells and I are planning our day.
Oh, how exciting. Are you hot on a case? Any suspects so far? What was that Mrs. McDermott like?
I'll talk to you later, Lenoa. I know, but she's efficient.
Oh, I'm not saying a thing. But as I was saying, where was I?
I was talking to the shopkeepers.
Oh, yes. Ask them what they've seen. Those storefronts are right in front of the sidewalk. They must see everyone walking down the street. And as you said, it is a small town and they would notice anything out of the ordinary.
And I suppose you'll be here at the Frontier Bar?
Yes, I'll be here at the Frontier Bar. After all, someone has to coordinate things, and this is as good a base as any. Besides, I thought you'd like some time to visit the area.
Well, thank you.
Here's that coffee, Jeanette.
Thanks, Florence. I'll warm up, and I'll be on my way.
Florence, as usual, that was a wonderful meal. Always the best food here at Lake Lawn.
Why, thank you, Mr. Wells. I'll pass that on to the chef.
Please do. And look who just walked in. Rodney, what are you doing here so early?
Oh, well, it is getting close to 11, Mr. Wells.
Oh, so it is. I guess it's time for a lunchtime cocktail. Make it a martini.
One martini coming up.
Martinis always seem so civilized at lunch, don't you think, Rodney?
I think a martini is civilized, period.
So right you are.
Here you go, Mr. Wells.
Another masterpiece. So, Rodney, how are things going for you?
Okay, I guess, Mr. Wells. I just make sure I keep busy. Can't let the mind or body waste away.
So right you are.
I've been working on some projects on the house that the wife has been after me to do. Some painting, cleaning out the basement, the garage, getting the yard ready for the winter. Just stuff like that.
Say, do you have one of those old stately homes in town here? I've seen plenty of them. Really impressive in structure.
Yep, they are, and no, I don't. They sure are pretty, but a lot of work. There's one in town that they've been working on for over a year. Must be costing them a fortune. All kinds of plasterwork, painting, replacing rotting woodwork. Just one thing after the next.
Plasterwork. Painting?
Oh, yeah. That stuff lasts for years until it doesn't, and it's a mess fixing. Hard to find people who can do that kind of work anymore, especially these days.
Messy?
Oh, yeah. Dust everywhere, taking it out.
Hold on, Rodney. I have to call Jeanette.
Well, so far, no luck.
I know, but I wasn't expecting anything either, to be honest. I mean, come on, a tall albino guy walking around town?
True. That would have hit the local gossip circles if anything like that were around here. Even if it were just a plain albino guy, people would be talking about it. I mean, let's be honest. And I have heard nothing like that at all.
Yeah. Well, we're done checking with people on this side of the street. Let's cross over there and work our way to that diner and get some lunch.
No room service?
Maybe later, if you're good.
I'd rather be bad.
Just cross the street.
Sort of a waste of a morning, other than spending time with you.
That's what detective work is. A lot of questions, a lot of asking around, a lot of putting together clues. Just takes time.
You think that woman was lying?
I don't think so. She certainly seemed rattled. Besides, Mr. Wells would have sniffed her out if she were lying to him. He can also tell a bad acting job when he sees it. Must be lunchtime, all right. Construction guys coming in from some job.
Yeah, those guys will probably eat the place out of house and home. They build up quite an appetite doing that work.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this tall guy coming in. Mr. Wells? Yeah, I think I figured out our stalker. I'll meet you at the Frontier Bar in 5. Yeah, okay. I'll bring Ms. McDermott.
We're gathered here, Ms. McDermott, to lay to rest once and for all your fears of being stalked by the Protector. But before we get started, Florence, how about some beverages?
Of course, Mr. Wells. Ms. McDermott, a Gibson?
Please.
Jeanette.
Scotch rocks.
Mr. Wells.
Double Jack and water. Thank you, Florence. To recap, Miss McDermott's husband was allegedly murdered by a colony of little people who were guarded by a tall albino man in Haunchyville, Wisconsin.
Not allegedly. He was killed by them.
Frankly, madam, we know he was killed. Since no one was found guilty, we do not know who did it. Anyway, now you are concerned that this same tall albino man is stalking you, having come from all the way from Delavan, probably to live with other colonies of escaped circus folk after all these years. Am I correctly summarizing the situation, madam?
You make me sound crazy, Mr. Wells.
Madam?
Oh, all right. That's pretty much the story.
Now, Ms. McDermott, please direct your gaze out the window down to the walk along the lake.
That's him. That's the Protector.
Madam? That is Justin Schmidt. He's a construction worker currently working on replastering one of the stately homes in Delavan. Of course, he was walking around town looking like a ghost. He was covered in white plaster dust.
No, that can't be.
Madam, there is no other explanation for your story. You were justifiably traumatized by your husband's strange death, heard about the legends of these colonies of escaped circus performers, and somehow put all of these unrelated stories, facts, and legends together.
But...
Madam, here are the facts. No one else in town has seen any kind of albino person. No one has ever found any kind of colony or evidence of any kind of colony of people in the area. The circuses left Delavan 100 years ago. Anyone associated with them would have been long dead. I'm sorry, madam. Justin Schmidt, construction worker, is your so-called stalker.
I don't believe that I could have been so foolish.
Now, just to be sure this gentleman wasn't stalking you, I had a conversation with him, and based on my keen interrogation techniques, that man is no stalker. He is a fine, upstanding family man with a young wife and 3 little children. Jeanette, could you ask Mr. Schmidt to join us? He deserves a drink for helping us out.
Yes, Mr. Wells.
So you see, Miss McDermott, you have nothing to fear, at least nothing more than the regular trials and tribulations of life. Ah, Mr. Schmidt, please join us.
I'm sort of dirty, Mr. Wells. I don't want to mess the place up or anything.
Oh, don't worry about that at all, sir. Please, sit.
Here are those drinks.
And just in time. Mr. Schmidt, what would you like?
I'll take a rye whiskey old-fashioned. That sounds good to me.
Indeed it does. Florence, bring this fine gentleman an old-fashioned. And a couple of those Wisconsin Heritage cheese-cured meat appetizers.
2 of the 4-person size?
Of course. Look at how many people are here.
Yes, 3 people and you.
Miss McDermott, I'm really sorry I gave you such a scare. You know, it's just that there's no place to wash this dust off me at the job site, so I wind up walking home like that, and it drives my wife crazy.
It's I that should apologize. I guess that after all these years, things just built up in my mind.
Oh, that's understandable, given what you've been through.
I'm just so embarrassed.
Nonsense. And here's a toast to another mystery solved here in Delavan.
Where's the ice bucket?
It's on the desk next to my computer and parsing stuff.
Oh, I see it now. Just hard to see in the dark.
Yeah, no full moon tonight. No light coming in through the windows.
And your room faces the lake, so no lights coming in from the rest of the resort. More champagne?
Sure. So, another goodbye? Yeah, it's best this way. I'm in Los Angeles, you're here. We have our own lives.
Yeah, I know. But we'll always have Delavan.
Do those lines really work on women?
Rarely. And if they do work, I walk away. Well, usually. Although something worked on you.
Well, it wasn't those corny lines of yours, that's for sure.
When do you leave?
We leave for Chicago about noon tomorrow. A couple days there and back to L.A. Oh, no. I suppose I shouldn't put her off any longer. Hi, Lenore.
Hi, Jeanette. I'm sorry to be calling so late, but I was getting so worried that I couldn't reach you. Is your phone okay? Now, do you need a new phone expressed out to you, or is it the cell service? I know that's a pretty rural area there. Maybe the cell service is sort of bad.
Everything is fine. Lenore, I'm not getting a clear signal. Lenore, well, I'll assume you can hear me. Everything is fine here. I'll call you tomorrow on our way to Chicago. Bye.
You are terrible.
Did you want me to stay on the phone with her?
Good point.
I could really go for a cigarette.
I didn't think you smoked unless it was... afterwards.
I guess we better have a before then. What was that?
Sounded like a shotgun. Probably some hunters.
At this time of night? You don't think it's...
Nah.
Okay, Jeanette. Off to Chicago.
I'm coming.
You know, Jeanette, if you wanted to stay here for a few days more, I can get to Chicago myself. I know you might want to have more of a goodbye.
Thanks, Mr. Wells. I appreciate that. I really do. But it's best if I go now. Sooner or later, I'd have to leave.
Very well, Jeanette. We have a plane to catch.
Not so fast. You have to re-record those radio commercials. Remember the gunks?
Oh, why must I be bothered by such pest? This is crazy. You don't know what I'm up against. This is quite weary. It's all quite unpleasant. The way they want those stupid commercials read, it's impossible. Simply impossible.
Just get in the car. I want to avoid the reverse rush going into the loop.
But...
I know. We all know. You're Orson Welles.
This has been The Kane Shadow, Send in the Clowns, created and written by Steve Brown and Mike Alstrup. Renee Bouchel was our director. Starring in today's show were Lawrence McCullough, Mike Bevito, Flight Attendant, and Lenore, Renee Bouchel, Rodney, Siegfried Christoph, Rosalind McDermott, Carol Knudsen, Jeanette, Susan Lean, Justin Schmidt, Steve Brown, Florence, Anne Marie Schmidt, and Orson Welles, Cameron Spencer. Renee Bouchel is our director. Today's production crew were Dave Janzer, Chief Production Engineer, Chuck Janzer, sound engineer. Mike Alstrup, live sound effects. Steve Brown, recorded sound effects.
The next WGT